Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have together to worship you, to fellowship with one another, to break bread with donuts later today, to sing and to worship you through the studying of your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we work through this, this short psalm of gratitude, Lord, that you would help us to see the why we should be grateful people, and then, Lord, help us as your children in Christ to be people that are truly a thankful people. This doesn't come naturally to us often, and so we look to you, Lord, for encouragement, and we just look for you, look towards you, Lord, to help us to be a people that you desire us to be. We need your help. We thank you for your Spirit who guides us and encourages us and convicts us and just leads us along the way. And we pray this in Christ's good name. Amen. All right, Psalm 100. You'll notice that there's a subscript that says a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 1, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. And Father, we do thank you, for you are good. You are God. Father, we pray that you would help us to greater understand why it is that we have every reason to be a thankful people. We love you, Father, and we pray this in Christ's good name. Amen. All right, so throughout, it's Thanksgiving is on Thursday. It's one of the holidays that truly, I think, embodies something that's commanded throughout the scriptures. Really more than, in my opinion, more than any other holiday out there. You don't see a lot sort of endorsing Christmas. I could make a case for Good Friday and Easter probably is like that there's throughout the New Testament a lot of emphasis on those two things. But gratitude really throughout the scriptures flows throughout, that we who are God's children should be a thankful people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, there's a command there by the Apostle Paul. He says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Yesterday at the men's Bible study, this was sort of a something that we talked about and contemplated, really this is an easy thing when everything's going great, but it's a stretching and intimate thing when everything is falling apart. To be in the midst of crisis, to be in the midst of pain, to be in the midst of sorrow, and to be at your very end, and to say, God, thank you for what you're doing in my life through this. This is a spot we didn't take a vote, but we all agreed nobody wants to be there, but in that moment, it's the best place that you can be kind of thing. And so we are commanded to be thankful in all circumstances, and we're told this is God's will. So often people are searching, like, what's God's will for me in my life? And the one thing we can always point to, God's will for you is that you be a thankful person, that you give thanks to him for being good. This attitude, I want to say of gratitude, but I don't want to go there. It's not the cliches. This is something that doesn't come naturally to us. We live in a culture that really embraces entitlement. It markets to those who lack contentment. Like every commercial is trying to highlight that you're not content, and if you only have this gadget or this thing, then you will be happy. Then you will find peace. Then you will find satisfaction. So often, you get the thing, and it doesn't fulfill what you think it should. And so I am prone to struggle with gratitude, and therefore, like, we need to practice it. We need to make it a discipline, like a spiritual discipline of giving thanks. And so we go to this psalm, which in this psalm it says, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. This is not about the American holiday of Thanksgiving, which came many, 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 many centuries after the writing of this psalm. This has to do with us being humans who are created in the image of God, that we are supposed to give thanks. In the first four verses of this psalm, you'll find about seven commands, depending on how liberal or not you want to be with the saying, that's a command, that's a command, that's a command. I count about seven. There's about seven things that we're supposed to do. And it's really easy to focus on, I don't want to say the external. I kind of think they're external things, the boxes that you're supposed to check, the things that you're supposed to do. It's very easy to do that within Christianity. But if you focus on those things without understanding the sort of the reason or the motive that these things are really symptomatic of something else, then you can get off track. And I think that's where religion is sort of born. And so I want to sort of start with the foundation. And the foundation in Psalm 100 is found in verse 5. So I'm going to do this backwards. I'm going to start in verse 5, this sort of the foundation, the reason, the compelling force that we're supposed to do these seven things is found in this fifth verse. I wanted to say the first verse we'll look at. And so verse 5 reads, for the Lord is good. Like just that first phrase, that God is good. I believe that thankfulness begins with a proper perspective or sort of mooring in your worldview. Our understanding of who God is should be the baseline or the starting point from everything that we look at in the world. And so the psalmist writes the very first thing we're looking at is the goodness of God, that we're supposed to look towards him and to focus on his goodness. I always think of Keith Green's song, Make My Life a Prayer to You. And there's that line that hits really deep to the heart. And it says, oh Lord, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. And so often our eyes are on ourselves and we're not looking outward. And as we take our eyes off of ourselves and we put our eyes on our Creator, it begins to change everything. John MacArthur on thankfulness says, I quote, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, and worry, and it helps fortify the believers, this is the important part, trust in the Lord and reliance on his provision. We're keeping our eyes on him, our trust on him, and as we know that regardless of what we're facing, he is good, and that's where we're going to place our anchor into his character. He goes on to say, even in the toughest times, no matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. We do this a lot here. Like we do this like almost at least on an annual basis, and it never ceases to amaze me how people walk into here a little bit mopey, a little bit like, oh, another day, another dollar, another blah, 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 you know, just kind of, and then by the end of, as a community of sharing the simple, I am thankful to God for this. This place leaves glowing and just like something actually changes within us. Paul in Romans 1:8, I love this. And, he begins Romans, this deep, powerful, difficult book in many ways. And he says, let me say first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And he's just like, I thank my God. It takes me back. I've had the pleasure before I was a pastor, of going to a Black Baptist church a few times, and I absolutely love it. If you know me, you've heard me talk about just the culture within a Black Baptist church. I love it. I don't know that I can say I love it more than anything, but it's super on my like top 10 list of going there. I'm not a Black person, so I stand out. But the love and the joy in a Black Baptist church, and I just think of like the way they talk about God. It's not they're just talking about God. They talk about my God. Like, it's like, my God will do this for you. And I'm like, there's something about this intimacy, this relationship that I love. And I wish I was a Black woman, like just, I could just have this more in my culture, but I'm not, I'm who I am. God didn't make me that way. But I love their example. For the Lord is good. And from here, so much flows. Thinking about when Jesus was in Luke chapter 18, when a young attorney, I think it was a young attorney or scribe or somebody, like, came to him and was like, I recognize that you're a good teacher. And Jesus was like, hey, time out. Like, you call me good. What are you saying? Because only one is good, and that's God. And I just want you to understand that what you're saying, like, he doesn't say that he's not good. You're using words, and I want you to understand the words that you're saying. And when you come to me and you say that I'm a good teacher, I need you to understand that there is only one who at their core is good, and that's God. And so when you come to me and you're saying you're a good teacher, you're acknowledging my deity. And so the goodness of God, we just sang about the goodness of God. This is powerful. This line here that God is good is something that we should sear into our brains. Richard Strauss says, because God is himself the highest and greatest good, he is also the source and foundation of all other good. Because God is good, everything that flows from him is goodness. He continues and says, he does good things. He extends his goodness to others. It is his nature to be kind, generous, and benevolent, to demonstrate good will toward men, to take great pleasure in making them happy. Because God is good, he wants us to have what we need for our happiness, and he sees that it is available to us. Every good thing we now enjoy or ever hope to enjoy flows from him. And no good thing has ever existed or ever will exist that does not come from his good hand. God is good. Everything flows from this in this passage. For the Lord is good. His very difficult word in the Hebrew, chesed, it's a word that the English language has a very difficult time trying to capture. Some translations will say his unfailing love. The New American Standard says his loving kindness is like the best that they can do to try to sort of paint a picture of this word chesed. But he says his chesed, his unfailing love, his loving kindness, depending on your translation, continues forever. Stephen Cole describes this Hebrew word this way. It comes from their word stork, like literally the bird that carries babies to your house, right? The Hebrews noticed how storks had an uncommon love for and protection of their young. They built nests securely in high trees, Psalm 104, verse 17, and they said God's love for his own is like that. He nurtures us and protects us from all enemies. He cares for us and feeds us. His love does not depend on us, but on his eternal nature, which is good. So God is good. His unfailing love or his loving kindness endures forever. This is like an eternal attribute of God, so that when we think about God, we think about his goodness, and we think about this not just love, but it's a love that has this kindness component of this gentle secure, caring attribute that is, it goes beyond words. It continues forever. And God's faithfulness continues to each generation. Faithfulness speaks of reliability. And then it begs the question, well, what is God reliable with towards us? And I think about his word is reliable. We can go to the scriptures and know this is trustworthy. We can trust that he's faithful when he speaks about our salvation, that we are great sinners, but he's provided his son as a way that we might receive atonement for our sins, that we might find forgiveness, that we might find peace with him. He's faithful in our salvation. He's faithful to comfort us in our time of distress and need. He provides us security in every which way that you want to provide security for in. He provides for us. He provides peace. He is faithful. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. And so since the Lord is good, since the Lord has unfailing love towards us, and since he is faithful to us throughout all generations, we are commanded to respond in a certain way. And so if we miss verse 5, we miss everything about this. Like, we miss the whole whole command. Everything flows from this truth. And so we go back up to verse 1. And there's about 7 things that we are instructed to do, but we do them because of this truth about who God is. And so the first one that we do is we are to shout with joy to the Lord all the earth. We are commanded to shout joyfully. I'd love this picture. The older I get, the less I have these moments. But the picture that I have in my mind is every now and again, maybe I'll have had too much caffeine or sugar or not enough sleep, and then I kind of go bonkers in a goofy way. And I enter the house, and it just turns into mayhem with the kids. And there's like running around. I see Grace. Like, I might have a bug assault salt shooter. I might be attacking the kids. Like, it's just total chaos and laughter and giggling that, like, without sort of, like, is it abandonment or abandon, whatever the word is? Like, you don't really care what people are thinking. You don't really care what's going on. It's just like this complete experience of joy from everybody in this moment. There's not a worry. There's not a care in the world. It's just amazing. If you're being shot by the salt shooter, you might not think it's the best moment, but it's this picture. This shout joyfully to the Lord, and it's like this image of God coming home and all the kids just like running around, and we're the kids just laughing and having a blast, like enjoying him. For the Lord is good. We are to worship or serve the Lord with gladness. Again, this word in some translations, about half say worship, about half say serve. And the reason why there's a split is because the Hebrew word has a nuance to it that's sort of hard to understand. The verb worship is literally to serve. But this word service connotates or carries with it the idea of worship. And so that's why some translations said, we're just going to use the English word worship. And others are we're going to use the word serve or service or something along those lines. But I think within this picture of this word, we know that as followers of Christ, we are to serve him. For Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. And so I think the reminder is, as we are serving him, that this is an act of worship. And so I think of Debbie, like, up here, and whatever she was wearing today, I was like, oh, no, it's coming. But it's like, she's, like, worshiping the Lord by looking crazy to do something. I have no idea what's going on with the kids back there, but it's like this. No, no, I'm going to worship. I'm going to give you everything, God. Like, I'm going to serve you, but I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with gratitude. Because you're good. And I want these other people that I'm around that my service will affect, I want them to know and to see and to taste your goodness. It says, come before him singing with joy, which just always makes me, every Sunday, I feel so bad for Don because I'm like right there and Don's right there and he's trying to lead us and I am not a singer. I've noticed over the years, he's put stuff in his ears to kind of hear the sound. And like clearly that one song, there was a problem. I had no idea that there was a problem. Like Don started, I'm like, oh, maybe he started the wrong key or whatever. And then as I unfolded, I'm like, oh, we were like singing one song and he's playing another song. And I didn't even notice. I'm just singing. Like I'm just letting her rip, you know, like I can see the words and there's kind of music there, but the two are never connected with me. Like it's, you know, Don will say at times like, well, there's some parts of this song that are high and some parts that are low. So some of you can sing half and some of you can sing other. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to blast right through. Like, I'm going to get those words out. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. When I was a kid, like, we would go to the cert. Like, my dad would say in the Catholic, okay, there's a 7 a.m. service. And we're going to go to this one because you can get in and you can get out and there's no music. Okay, I can. He's like, if you stay awake, you get a donut afterwards. I'm like, okay, I'll do my best. Like, I was about 50% on the donuts. And then, yeah. And it took me a while to learn that singing is, it's not just singing a song. It's, we're worshiping our Creator. We're giving thanks to Him for He is good. And so we're told to come before Him and to sing with joy. And when I hear this, and at times, you know, you'll hear criticism or like, oh, well, this music just really, it didn't do anything for me. It's like, oh, well, I hate to break it to you, but it's, I don't say this, I just think it. And sometimes it's me that I'm talking to. It's like, well, I didn't think worship was about you. I thought it was about Him. And we're supposed to bring joy to our Creator in heaven to give Him thanks. Psalm 100:3. For the Lord is good, so we are to acknowledge that the Lord is good. Or that the Lord is God. We're kind of going back to the first point. God is good. Where we're acknowledging who He is. I think that in worship or in prayer or anything, this is always like a good place to begin, that Lord, I'm coming before You. I acknowledge that You are a God and I'm not. I'm a created being. I'm Your created being. We're putting everything into perspective between who we are with one another. It's like, I get the bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot. I understand the sentiment behind that, but it's like, no. You're not my co-pilot. You're my God. And I need to submit my life to You completely and totally because I acknowledge who You are. Every breath that I have, every day that I'm alive, it's a gift from You. Any capacity that I have to do something, it's because You have allowed me to do this. And so why this might feel like a weird point to acknowledge that God is God or that the Lord is God, it's critical that we understand and acknowledge who He is because it puts all of the other pieces into a correct alignment. He continues on this point, He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Did you make yourself? No. Like ultimately, like we are created by Him. The Bible lets us know, like long before we existed, God knew that we would be, that He had He knew what he would create. He has purchased every one of us, whether or not you have come to faith in Christ. We are told that all of us have been purchased by the blood of Christ. 2 Peter 2:1 reads, "But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false prophets among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies." And the point here, even deny the master who bought them. So he's speaking about people who are not walking with God, but he says that Jesus purchased them even though they have denied him and are trying to bring about destruction upon him. God has made every one of us. We exist because of his goodness, because of his creativity. And so we acknowledge him. We thank him for our differences. We thank him for our quirkinesses. We thank him because all of our differences together, it creates this like beautiful picture. Verse 4, he goes on to say, it happens to the best of us. I will harass him later because that's Rick. It's something we can tease. Verse 4, command, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. So as we enter into his presence, what we're like, there's this instruction of giving thanks. There's this instruction of praising him, worshiping him, adoring him for who he is because he is good. We may not always feel like doing this, but it's God's will for us to be thankful, to be filled with thanksgiving and praise. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. He continues, give thanks to him and to praise his name. So twice we're told to approach him with gratitude. Twice we're instructed to approach him with praise. And so what do we do with this passage? Like as we go into this holiday of Thanksgiving, it's evident that we're supposed to be a thankful people. Why are we supposed to be a thankful people? For the Lord is good. And so we're going to take this time to bless God with a time of public sharing. Melanie has the microphone over there. I need to turn off my microphone. And we are going to take an uncomfortable amount of time to give thanks. So Melanie has the microphone. She's going to run around. You can just stand up and you can thank God for whatever it is that you want to thank God for.
You know that. I'm thankful for Barbara and the Lord's presence in my life and this congregation and the Lord just being present in my life and bringing us to Valley Center with this congregation.
Okay, I'm staring down the barrel of strike three. I'm thankful for my wife, first of all, and I'm also thankful for the neighbors and the friends and really just the family that I have here. And I don't think I really knew what being a neighbor looked like until I started coming to Grace Point. And I mean, just any number of you. Hey, let me give you some furniture for your backyard. Let me give you a freaking trailer load of firewood. Let me give you some plants. Let me teach you the fundamentals of jujitsu. Like it's come over and grill some steaks. Like it's really awesome. Just the family that I have here, and I'm not an extremely sociable person, but I do notice these things, and your generosity is not lost on me, and I'm very thankful for all of you who are my neighbors.
Of course, I'm thankful for my husband, but I'm sure that he's joining me in saying, yes, we are very thankful for this church, all the people in it, and I'm especially thankful for Anna and for the Wednesday Bible study that she is just doing such a wonderful job, and we really appreciate everyone.
If God is your co-pilot, you need to change seats, all right? This is, and if that's what's going on, There's people up here every week to pray for you. You know, take advantage of that. Find healing. Find comfort in the prayers offered up here.
You are our church family. I'm blessed to have Diane as my wife, and I'm blessed to have you all as part of my family. I want to thank Bud publicly for traveling with me this week up to Portland to see my sister, who's not well, and I don't know how much longer she has to live, but it was a blessing to be with him. It was a blessing. It was a long trip, one day up, and we saw her for a few hours and the next day back. So it's quite a drive, and he's a pretty good driver and a good conversationalist, but we talked a lot about the Lord, and we spoke with my sister and her family, who my sister was resentful and initially prior to this trip, and I didn't know what we'd see, but I think our presence there and speaking with them, and in the end, she held my hand, and we prayed together, so I think we planted a seed that I'm going to pursue. And I thank you all for that, prayed for us, and all of you for being part of my family.
I'm very thankful for this church, but also that our Lord gave us a season of giving with the best gift of his son.
I'm very thankful for all my friends and family. I'm also thankful for Bud for leading the Bible study every Sunday morning. It's been really enjoyable for me.
I'm really grateful for people who have the gift of encouragement.
Well, I'm very, very thankful. My wife is sitting here next to me. A year ago about this time, I was told that if I hadn't gotten her into the hospital, she would not be, she had an hour to live. They wouldn't have done the surgery that she needed. They would just let her go softly and easily. And I just can't believe a year later we're sitting. Not that it's been a perfect year. She still needs training. But but also, I have a new great-granddaughter that we haven't seen. They were coming today for a week, but my granddaughter has COVID, so they're not going to be able to come from Arizona. So I have so much to be thankful for. Our Geezer Coffee Club, we've got mugs now. If you want to be a geezer and have your own coffee cup, come on Tuesday. So thank you, Gunner. You've been a very close and dear friend of ours and your family. This is the first.
I can't do it.
What were you wanting to share?
I just wanted to thank the Lord for my husband. Yeah.
Oh, that's tough to follow. Hey, I'm Cliff. I'm thankful. We've been trying to sell our house since June, and I'm thankful that we have not sold our house since June. One, because we get to enjoy Gunner's sermons, and we also get to watch you be. But there are other reasons why we haven't gone, and we don't know what they are, but we know that God schedules every day of our life before we even begin to breathe. So says Psalms 139. And so we're thankful that he's in control.
I think there's a common thread of thanking the whole congregation for how amazing you all are. That was certainly what I was going to say. We've been here since 2020. It seems like shorter. It seems like longer all at the same time. And in that amount of time, my husband lost his little brother to brain cancer and left behind three little girls. Brandon had a horrible accident with his Achilles. I've had surgery. My dad had his horrific accident and was in the ICU for 3 weeks. And every step of the way, you have all, including over here behind me, been Jesus' hands and feet, and loving on us, letting us eat you out of house and home as you have fed us through each of those instances. And I'm just eternally grateful. And also my kids, as they grow up and they see Jesus' hands and feet in action, this congregation is just so special. And a lot of that comes from the leadership and the teaching, and that is something I'm incredibly grateful for, is your faithfulness and obedience in going through the Word. But, like, my daughter is starting to ask questions. She's a true cops kid, skeptical about everything. So she has some amazing, like, deep theological questions. And as we talk about all of these questions, I know that as she goes on through life and grows up, she's going to be able to look at the world and see what it has to offer and look at her church family and see the incredible love and example that everyone here has set. And I'm just so thankful for that. That's something that I can't provide her. So thank you so much. And thank you for the leadership that has taken over leading our teens, because we will be there soon, Joey and Bud. And it's so exciting that our church has grown to that capacity. So,
first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for rescuing me from my past life and bringing me to where we are today. I'm very thankful for my wife, who was instrumental in that step in my life. I'm very blessed to be able to come alongside and serve him, as our pastor said this morning, to be thankful for the life that he's given us, to be a part of Grace Point Church, to come alongside members here and to just be loved by you guys and to be strengthened through that whole thing, to have a pastor that teaches us the Word of God and that we can continue to grow weekly and ponder those thoughts, to know our worship team and how they bring that joy of music to us, to know the teachers and the study and the amount of effort that goes into teaching us, and as we also are able to learn from them, to be able to pass that on to the youngers, to know the new families, just to watch the growth of Grace Point Church and to know that the Holy Spirit is totally working here. I'm so thankful to be a part of this. It brings a tear of joy to my eye. I also love the Psalms. I made a note in my Bible several years ago that says, what a way to start a day, through that Psalms. It's very special to me. And I'm just thanking you here and our worship to the Lord. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you for all the song prayers before and after every sermon. That's what I call them, my song prayers. I love them. And thanks to Don, the girls, the band. Love it. Gets us in the mood to take in.
I'm long-winded, so I'll try to be short. But I thank God that all the doors closed on all the houses we offered on for like a year, and then all of a sudden we were like, I guess Valley Center is, you know, the one where we're going to get. So I thank God for bringing me to Valley Center. I thank God for Gunner's neighbor, who said I need to go listen to Gunner when I was still kind of unsure of church family, where I was at. And so I thank God that Gunner then messaged us after we were only here for like a week or two and was like, hey, missed you this week, because we were out sick for a couple weeks. So that made us feel even more like this was our home. I thank God every time I see everybody step up for like any kind of volunteer thing, the amount of hands that come up, it's awesome to be a part of this church. And yeah, I definitely thank God for being a part of this church family. And I thank God for number three in our own family on the way. So nobody knows, including Ryan. So But very thankful to God for that, and just for our family and the health and growth that we've had in our family too. So, yeah, that's.
Good morning. I'm thankful for my sister today. It is her birthday, and I unfortunately don't get to celebrate it with her. And I also wanted to say that God is definitely not my co-pilot, but my pilot.
So I was sitting here, and I was like thinking to myself, trying to figure out what to do, say. But anyway, too far, I feel like I'm at. But anyway, I'm thankful for all the hands. All the hands have shaped my path and encouraged me, and I'm thankful for for those in this year that has encouraged me. And I'm thankful that for the mile markers that I've have that has happened this year.
Good morning. I thank God every day for all the blessings that He gave myself and my family. I'm thankful for my family, for God watching over us and all the blessings that He's given us, and for our health and for this church also.
Well, I wasn't going to do this, but I just was sent a scripture out of Psalm 71, 18, I think it was, and it says, "Oh God, when I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not." And, you know, I've prayed this for years, and little did I know, I thought I was kind of all finished with my wonderful life with God. And this past year, He's called me to a place, a vessel of honor, to pray day and night. It may sound strange, but that's just what He's doing. Lord has to put up with me, but day and night, when God says, pray for whoever, and He wakes me up by my foot hurting or whatever, and it's like I'm trying to not be hurting, and then I go, okay, and then that's my life today that I pray for. All of you know who I know, so if you want prayer, let me know you're okay.
First off, I still need to say the same thing so many people have said, and that's the thankfulness for this church and this body, because it's, don't cry, it's a special body. And I've been in other churches where you don't feel the love and the compassion that this church gives you. So thank you to each and every one of you for what you give every day. And I also thank my brother and sister-in-law who have housed me for 15 years now when I had no place to go, took me in. And I also thank God for the pain and the frustration I'm going through trying to learn for this show I'm in, because I haven't done it in years, and they have me dancing, of all things, so pray for me, because I'm like, okay, and come home with aches and pains. So I am thankful, though, because it is a really special group of people, the CCT group, and they're very encouraging to everybody in the cast, and it's just a wonderful time to spend with getting to know other people of all ages, because our show has from 2 years old up to me in the show. So we have a special time, too, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you.
First and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for the grace that He's had on all of our lives, especially my family. I want to thank my earthly father for everything He's done for me in my life. I want to thank Grace Point Church for being open arms to me and my family. Thank you, Gunner. Thank you, Bud, for the Bible study. Thank you to all my friends. Thank you guys so much. You guys have a special place in my heart.
I'm very shy, so I apologize. But I want to thank you guys again. You know, I was very reluctant to come, and you know that because. So I was very reluctant to come here, and I don't know. I'm thankful that the Lord has softened my heart to come here, and now that this is my church family, and I'm thankful for Him putting me in a role that I'm able to serve the church with Ladies and Lattes, and I'm thankful for all you ladies that come and participate, and for making it something that is just so wonderful for me. So I just really appreciate all of you guys. So thank you.
I just want to say what a huge blessing this church is on my family, and now to be my extended family. And just that I'm just so thankful Every day when I open my eyes, I'm just so thankful that the Lord did rescue me out of the pit of worldliness and has put his love and his word on my heart, and that that God has provided all the blessings he has, and that we can continue to grow and continue to worship him, learn about him, and serve others through this body. And I'm very thankful to all of you for participating in your own walk with the Lord and in supporting everyone else in it as well. God bless you all.
Well, as I sit here and listen to what everybody said, I'm sure you all gather there's a theme to these thankfulness, right? This church and this church family. And you think, you know, none of us, if we weren't part of this church, we wouldn't have anything in common. We wouldn't, we'd all be going our separate ways, but we walk through that door and we start sharing our gifts and our expertise and our experiences with each other, and we come close, and it just creates this awesome family, right? That every one of us seem to be very thankful for, me too. So I think about family members I have that don't come to church. I think they're missing what the, this is a huge blessing that they're missing that we get to participate in. So definitely something to be thankful for. And the other thing I really like is I love watching all the children run through the halls, right? Isn't that awesome? There was a time we didn't see that, but now we get to see it all the time. And they can make as much noise as they want. It's awesome.
It's funny, I'm not nervous without a microphone, but I am with one. So aside from being extremely thankful to the Lord and my family, she's crying, so I'm going to turn away. We started coming here not even that long ago, but it's been amazing meeting everybody. And we've been, like, wanting a church family. And it's actually funny, since we've been coming, I've almost seemed, it's been funny that we've, like, not really hung out with many of you, and I apologize for that. And I don't want this to sound mean, but it's almost like I've been happy not hanging out with you guys. Hear me out. Because we've been around so many other people in our lives who aren't at a step that we are, I feel like, in our walk with the Lord. And it's been, since coming here, a little easier to talk about our faith to them. And it's been thankful for that. So it's been more, we've had more confidence. And I used to not tell people, like, I wasn't an opener of my conversation. Oh, how's it going? I go to church. All right, cool. What's up with you? It's always been, you know, they've asked, and yeah, I'm religious. And I think lately we've been more, hey, our church is this, and we've done this at church, and we've read this in the Bible. And it's cool not only that we've been talking about it in the book of Acts with Gunner, but also we started reading the Bible together, which has been really fun. And some of the things I've picked up a lot is the fact that in the New Testament, Jesus tells a lot of his disciples, I'm not for you. I'm not here for you. I'm here for the ones that don't know me. I'm here for the ones that need me because they don't know they need me more than the people who are here at my feet knowing they need me. Like, I'm not, like, you guys know you need me, so you guys are good. Keep doing what you're doing and keep listening to me, but I need to get to those ones who don't. And you've given us a lot of confidence, Gunner. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Well, I'm so thankful for this church. It's the first time I came here, I said, this is the church I want to go to. It just took like one visit. And I'm so thankful to Gunner for, I'm thankful to you for the way you present the word of God to us. And I'm so thankful for Anna and the Bible study. And she does such a wonderful job. She just, I just feel like both of you are just full of Jesus. And it just rubs off on me. And it's really changed me. And I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus. And I know that He's real, because all I have to do every day is just open my eyes and look around and know that none of this could be if it wasn't for our Heavenly Father. So that's.
And the worship team can come forward and I'll close this in prayer, and then we can sing a song. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Father, you are good. And I pray, Father, that you would that you would just reveal more of yourself to us, Lord. Help us to see how truly good you are. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Father, we pray that as we go through good times, we would praise you. As we struggle and strive through hard times, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to give thanks to you, to praise you, even if we're a bit confused and if we're a bit sort of just not sure about what's happening or where you are in the midst of our difficulties. We thank you that we can turn to your character as you have revealed to us in the scriptures, and you tell us that you are good, that you are loving, that you care for us. And so, Father, we just give you thanks. We pray, Father, especially this week, that you would help us to be lights unto you, that we would radiate gratitude and praise to you throughout this week, and really, Lord, day by day in our lives. We love you, Father, and we pray this in Christ's good name. Amen.